We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
Chapter 2, Luke, and it came to pass, in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused or engaged wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass that the angels were gone away from them into the heaven. The shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. If I would take a text this morning, if you were here a couple weeks ago, I think I preached on the lamb that was provided there on Mount Moriah. And so with that being in mind, I want to entitle this message, Behold the Lamb Provided. Behold the Lamb Provided. If you'll remember what Abraham said when his son asked him about, well, you got everything else, Father, but where's the lamb? And so Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. And so with that, following up, this is what we want to talk about here this morning. When man fell into sin there in the Garden of Eden, and we all know that God made a promise that a redeemer would someday come. And that redeemer would come as the savior of sinners. And all through the Old Testament, God brought about the events to bring this event to pass. And every sacrifice, every ritual of Jewish worship, everything that God did was moving steadily toward this moment when the Lamb of God would enter the world and pay the price for the sins of mankind. And so I take this, and I just said there, I know that one occasion that I talked about that I preached on a couple of Sundays ago is one of those events that we remember. And so on the way there to up that mountain, Isaac asked the father, Abraham, about what they were doing. And here, just a reminder, is what Abraham said over in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 6 through 8. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself. Now this is what I want to see. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. So our text here today, the scripture that I read here today, is about the night that Father's promise was fulfilled. This is telling us about that night when Abraham's promise to Isaac was fulfilled. It was also the moment that God promised to send his Redeemer into the world. That was the moment that promise was fulfilled. And so as we look here in the events of this special night, 2,000 years ago, we can learn something about how that God provided the lamb. Now Abraham said a long time ago, God will provide a lamb. And so as the Lord would give us liberty here this morning, and we all understand this morning that I cannot preach or nobody can preach unless the Lord give liberty. And I pray that he would give us liberty here this morning, that we could speak on the subject, Behold the Lamb Provided. And I want to show you or tell you this morning how and why that God sent his son Jesus into the world. And not only that, but I want to tell you what his birth can and does mean for you. Allow me to share just for a minute here on Behold the Lamb is Provided. The first thing I want you to see in the first seven verses that I read is the place involved in this lamb's provision. In other words, look in verse 4. The fact that Jesus was born in Bethlehem was no accident. That wasn't an accident whatsoever. It was predicted several years before it came to pass. If you look over Micah chapter 5, and then in verse 2, this is what it's saying. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousand of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth. Who? He there is Jesus. Jesus will come forth unto me, that he is to be the ruler in Israel, whose going forth has been from of old, from everlasting. And so we see, and this was common knowledge. This was common knowledge among the Jewish people that it had been prophesied that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. If you look in Matthew chapter 2, and the wise men, and they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judah, this is where he's going to be born, for this is written by the prophet. The prophet had already prophesied. And so, and thou in Bethlehem, the land of Judah, and not the least among the places of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people, Israel. This is where Jesus is going to be born, put it in layman's terms. And so, why it should not surprise you this morning that Jesus was born where the Bible says that he should be born, but the events here surrounding this arrival, they were very amazing. In other words, look in verse 4, tells us that Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth. What's significant about that? If you know your geography, and you know your Bible geography, you know that Nazareth, this city, is some 70 miles north of Bethlehem. So they were going to have to travel 70 miles to get to the place where that the Bible says that Mary would deliver the baby. And a woman that's great with child, that's a considerable distance to travel in those days. Wouldn't be a very bad now get in our fine cars and travel, but in those days, that was a very big test. And so for the Messiah to be born in the right place, a series of events worked together to bring this to pass. Now, first of all, a pagan emperor, an unsaved man, the Bible says, named Caesar Augusta, living thousands of miles away, he issues a decree that all of his subjects be registered and be taxed. And so this order for a census was sent out far and wide. And the Bible says the call is issued in Israel, and Joseph and Mary return to their ancestral of their family in Bethlehem. And so this may not mean very much to you. This may not say, "Preacher, I don't get excited about that as you do. That don't mean that much to me." But I want you to know, it should teach us that Caesar may have been ruling, but God was overruling. Is that not right? Now, I think that's what we see in our country today, in our world today. Those people that's in authority may think they're ruling, but I'm glad that we got a God on the throne that is overruling. That God's will is going to be done in this country no matter what happens. All right, and so here, God in his providence, he worked out all the details necessary that Jesus would be born where the prophets said that he would be. And by the way, if he can do that, surely this morning that he can take care of all those little needs that you and I have this morning. Surely he can. If he can bring a woman that was ready to deliver a child some 70 miles to the place where it was prophesied that that the baby should be born, surely he can meet our needs this morning. And so we're told that the Savior's entrance into this world was anything but glorious. Because we see here when the young couple arrived in Bethlehem, they discovered there was no place for them to stay, no room in the inn. They found a refuge in a stable or a stall or whatever. You all are farmers. You all know, have your own terminology. We all know what it is. Where the cattle were kept or the sheep were kept. So when Mary delivered Jesus, she placed the baby in a feed trough, laid him in a manger. Now you and I cannot even begin to comprehend the greatness of this truth. And so contained here, I want you to think about that. In other words, you may say, can you read that story and say, and she brought forth her son and laid him in a manger. And you may say, boy, that sounds pretty. But that has significance. That has so much important for you and I. Imagine here, God himself came into this world. The same God who made the universe. And the same God who made everything that is in the universe. He came into this world as a little baby. But he was not born in all the lap of luxuries. He was born in the filth of miserable poverty. And so he humbled himself and entered into this world in the form of a servant. As Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 through 8 says, his humble birth signified the kind of life that Jesus would live all the time that he was here upon this earth. At one point in his ministry, the Bible says he didn't have no place to lay his head. The Bible said, and Jesus said unto them, "The foxes, the birds of the air has nests, the foxes has holes, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Lived in poverty his life. Didn't have anything to call his own. And Bible says right here in this scripture, when he died, He had to borrow a tomb to be buried in. Now the God who made everything, and who could have had anything that he wanted to have because it all belonged to him, chose to live the life of poverty. Why is that? Why would it not have worked just as good if Jesus would have been born in luxury? Why would it not have been just as good if Jesus would have had everything at his fingertips and lived in that kind of splendor? Why did he live in poverty? There's just one reason or one answer. And that is because he loves you. And because that he loves me. The Bible says, and listen where I get that answer from in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, I said he's the creator of everything. He owns everything. He made everything that there are. Yet for your sakes, whose sakes? Yours and mine. For the sakes of humanity, he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. He did it so that he might be able to understand our burdens. Look what Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 says. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was not always tempted like as we are, yet without sin. For therefore let us come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. He did it so that he might be able to enter into our sufferings. Jesus knows what it's like when you suffer. Jesus knows what it's like when you don't have some of the things that you need to make life more comfortable. He knows all of that. He came to die in our place and lift us out of the circumstances that we find ourselves in if we only call upon him. And thank God for the poverty that Jesus was born in. Now verse 7, we're told that Mary took her baby and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Now people sometimes wrap their children or their infants. They wrapped them in strips of cloth in that time period to help strengthen their limbs or to provide protection for the child. In other words, I guess if you wrap them in swaddling clothes and they try to work their arms free and they try to do those things, then it strengthens the muscle and it makes them stronger. And that was one of the reasons that they wrapped their babies in swaddling clothes during that time. But listen here. However, those strips here of linen cloth were the same kind that were used to wrap dead bodies and prepare them for the burial. See the significance of that? Even in his birth, there's a picture of his death. Another reason Jesus was wrapped in this way was because those swaddling clothes was going to be a sign, serve as a sign to some that was seeking Jesus, the shepherd. What did the angel say? You shall find the child wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Again, the providence of God is on display, and there is no accidents, and there is no coincidence in the life of a Christian. Listen, so she wraps him in swaddling clothes and lay in the manger. And then we're told that she took the baby and placed him in a manger. I called your attention to that a while ago. This word refers to a feeding trough. This word refers to a place where animals would find their food. I do not believe that it's any accident that the bread of life was placed in a feed trough. What does the Bible say? And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Therefore, look here. He was the bread of life, was placed in a feed trough. He came to satisfy the hungry souls of dying men. Therefore, it was appropriate that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Do you know what the word Bethlehem means? It means the house of bread. How about that? The bread of life is going to be born in the house of bread. He's going to be laid in a feeding trough because he is going to be the one that's going to satisfy the hunger of the souls of men. Has the Lord entered your life and satisfied your hungry soul? I want to say this morning. Ever since I've known the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I have never hungered for the things of this world. And I want you to know, before I got saved, there was a lot of things in this world that I hungered for. There was a lot of things in this world that were sinful that I wanted. I wanted the pleasure of it. But I want you to know that since I've met Jesus and he come into my heart and life and I've ate the bread of life, he has fully satisfied the hunger of my soul. And he can do that for anybody. And that's the only thing that can satisfy your hungry soul. If you don't have Jesus, you'll just fast from one thing to another, trying to satisfy that hunger that is down within you. Whether it be a new car, whether it be a new house, whether it be a new wife or a new husband or whatever it is, you go from thing to thing, trying to find something to satisfy. And nothing will ever satisfy. That's the way God made you. God made you that there's nothing that will satisfy your hunger except to eat of the bread of life. Psalms 107 verse 9. For he satisfied the longing soul, and he filled the hungry soul with goodness. The Lord Jesus came into this world to satisfy your hungry soul. And I'm glad that Jesus was born in a manger and not in a palace. I'm glad that he was born in humble surroundings and not in the abundance of wealth. Why is that? If he had been born in a palace, shepherds that we're going to talk about just in a few minutes if we have time, would not have had access to him. They wouldn't have allowed those old filthy shepherds to come to some palace. They would have been forbidden. They wouldn't even have been allowed on the premises, let alone enter in and look upon his face. And so you and I, we would feel very uncomfortable this morning to approach a Savior that was reared in the luxuries and the wealth and the splendor of the rich. But we don't have any trouble coming to the Lord that we know that have walked in the very same hard places that you and I have walked in. Listen, so there's the place. I want you to see the people involved in the Lamb's provision. The birth of the Lord Jesus did not happen in a vacuum. Those people, while the people there in Bethlehem was very ignorant of what was happening in the city, the Bible says God revealed the good news to some poor, humble shepherds who were outside the town on the Judean hills. This, look at their occupation there in verse 8. The Bible simply calls them shepherds. They were responsible for taking care of a flock of sheep. Their work was dirty. Their work was hard. It required the men to be away from their families for a long period of time while they were out searching for pasture for their flocks to graze in. If you've ever been over there, as Pam said just a few minutes ago, and seen the terrain and seen how barren that place is, it wasn't an easy thing to find grazing for the herd. And they were often crude and very vile men. And they were often known for their sinful lives and their wicked ways. Shepherds were often considered ceremonial unclean, because the duties of their occupation required them. And also their work prevented them from going regularly to attendance to the temple where they could be cleansed. And as a result, these men, they were considered the lowest of the low. Man, if you think sometimes you're down low, I want you to think about how those poor old shepherds felt. They was the lowest of Christ of people that they could exist in that day. And of course, it may have been these very men who tended to the lamb that one day would be used in the temple sacrifices. It was these men who received the message of peace from the angel of the Lord. What a blessing. And let me say to us here this morning, say to you, men may not care about you today as a person. Men may not like you today as a person. People may look down on you in disgust because of who you are or because of what you've done. Are you hearing me this morning? They may look down on you. But there's a God in heaven who loves you in spite of everything. It don't matter who you are or what you've done, there's a God in heaven that loves you. Not only that, I want you to know there's a God in heaven who desires to save you if you'll just come to Him. I'm sure glad today that when I came to an altar to ask the Lord Jesus to save me, I'm glad that He didn't hold my past against me. I'm sure none of you all here have a past. I'm probably the only one in this church house that has a past that I'm not proud of, that I needed forgiven from. I know you all was the best little Pharisees this side of Jerusalem. Never did anything wrong. You never took a cookie when mama was head was turning. You were just perfect people, so you're not excited about this. But listen, I want you to see, as soon as these men hear the news of the Savior's birth, they leave the sheep on the hillside and they run into the town of Bethlehem to find the Lord Jesus. And when they arrive there, they find everything is just exactly the way the angel said that it would be. What a picture of grace. Regardless of a person's past or how they've fallen in life, there's still hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad of that this morning? There's nobody hopeless this morning, no matter what they've done. Those that have even murdered little babies and sexually assaulted little babies and all those kind of things. There's hope for those people. The most heinous crimes that could be committed, Jesus can save those kind of people. There's hope. There's nothing that you can do that there's no hope for because of that baby that was born in Bethlehem. There's hope.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at uniontemplefwb.org.